when are you going to be having a chat down the pub? And like, well, hang on a minute, let me use the super passive voice. It's not how language
is that even works. A real thing? Because I kind of made that up.
I like the super passive voice. Yeah.
I like the super passive aggressive voice.
That's
like,
what
I'll get
what
that for you,
about.
Shall I?
I think that's just called British English.
I'm sure you've done an advert for Lamoy before on this.
Well, I'm going to try doing it again now, because I remembered what the word was. It's Lungmoy.
All right, wait.
Lungmoy.
Edit point.
Go. All right, so the way to order, the way
no,
I remember.
You have to leave a beat after the edit
fine,
point.
All right, let's do it.
Edit point.
The Snake in a Room podcast, and it's starting soon with Matt Hutchinson. Gonna be having fun with some comedians. Think it's starting right about now.
Hello and welcome to the Snake in the Room podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hutchinson. This week I'm joined by Bavan Baputani.
Hey.
Hey. Bav, we have sat down and we watched an episode of the 90s TV show Bugs.
Yeah. And to be honest, it was a nostalgia kick for me. Because I watched it a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
Seasons 1 to 3, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Bav was very confused by season 4.
I had no idea it went up to season 4, so I clearly missed out on that. It must have been because Gladiators was on ITV and I didn't want to. I had to make a hard choice between Gladiators and Bugs and probably
right.
Not for Gladiators. But no, it was great watching
Did you
it.
Ever go watch Gladiators live?
No. I have, though, seen WWE live many times and fucking love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, we're carrying on our dive into Adrian Pang's back catalogue. I'll make a confession now. Adrian doesn't actually make that much of an appearance in this one.
Nope.
He was in it maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
Still, fantastic acting chops.
I mean, he's...
Brilliant
he's,
suit.
He's strong 90s suit. Everyone had a strong 90s suit. And I didn't realize how baggy 90s suits were.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
super
mm-hmm.
baggy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like the, one of the guys who turns out to be the boyfriend who had invented the email thing, I thought he was an estate agent because he was driving what looked like to be a Ford Mondeo. And that's like another classic 90s car. Brilliant.
But Bav, it wasn't just you and I...
No.
Who watched it tonight. We're also joined by stand-up comedian, educator, mother botherer.
Aquatic fucker.
Aquatic fucker.
Yeah.
Broadcaster, Ashley James.
And surprisingly large.
Mic technique, slower picker-upper.
and a thrifty headphone buyer.
An astute headphone buyer.
Yeah, I think so.
Very powerful headphone.
Served him well.
Sat right next to you, Ashley James. Say hello, Ashley.
Hey. Yeah, that is the most accurate description. That might be my new Tinder bio when I leave, I think, is the best way.
Is that too many characters? Is there a character limit on your bio in Tinder?
I don't know. It's surprisingly long already, and this is a joke I already have, but generally speaking, the more attractive that you are, the less your bio is. So attractive girls don't have bios, and I pretty much have a dissertation at this point trying to explain. Mine's a PowerPoint presentation explaining why you should at least let me buy you a drink, not even sleep with me. Just like, please, please, please meet me. If you're surprisingly large, that's my type. But yeah.
With that image in your mind, listener, please sit back. Relax and enjoy this episode of Pang Thang.
Edit point.
You're listening to the Snake in the Room podcast.
So I like Lamoy, as Blue Girl is called in Cantonese, because it rhymes with Goi. So you got a sentence there. And then the measure word is obviously boy, so you could say Lung Boy Lamoy Goi. I think it's got a nice little pitter-patter to it.
Fantastic. That's just fantastic. That will stick with me forever.
I also want to say that Ashley has brought with him Black Beer Stout. And
no, that's mine.
Oh, that
also,
you have.
Also, before you start referencing Ashley, you should probably introduce him.
Nope.
Or he should introduce himself.
Nope.
I should introduce him.
Sure.
We're joined by Ashley James, who's... We've got 2 mics and 3 people. I'm making Bav and Ashley get very intimate and... Ashley wants to talk, but he's very, very bashful about grabbing the mic off for Bav.
Who I've met a total of, I think, 2 times.
Yeah.
And both in the last 7 days. I don't think I'm that capable of holding his hand for the next hour and a half.
You don't have to hold it all the time, just like when you want to talk, pull the mic to you before you start talking.
I think this is the most physical intimacy I've had with someone in a long time.
I mean, I'm enjoying it.
So we're joined by Ashley James today on this Pang Thang. I'm here with Bav Baputani as usual, aka Bav the comedian, aka just Bav, aka.
Please look up his reviews on iTunes. They're fantastic.
Yes, please look up Bav's iTunes reviews. We went over this last time we recorded. So if you listen to the last episode, you'll know that I left a glowing 5-star review on Bav's app.
Yeah, and I didn't get fired.
Yeah.
So that was a result. If you want to know how a review left by Matt could potentially get me fired, you really should listen to that.
And I was going to say, as I've said to Bav before, that would be a fantastic reason to get fired and have to go into your next job.
Right, next interview. Why did you lose? Why did you leave your last job?
my friend called my app sexy. That's pretty much why Bav almost got fired.
Yeah.
We can laugh about it now.
Yeah, now.
That's one of those things where it's a funny story, but at the time you're like, I'm going to kill him. I am actually going to kill him.
iTunes reviews do not refresh or like edit very quickly. You send in the edit and it doesn't come in for like another half a day or something.
Yeah. I think maybe they're still running on dial-up. If their mum's on the phone, they're not allowed to update their reviews at the same time.
It's crazy. Anyway, we're here to do a Pang Thang. Bav, can you explain to Ashley what a Pang Thang is?
So
why we're doing Pang Thang?
So this is kind of like a spin-off of a show that we were reviewing called Sparks. And in that, they had an actor who was playing a character named Chester, and the actor's name was Adrian Pang. And the more Matt researched Adrian Pang, the more interesting Adrian Pang became to us. I think the first thing that leaped out to us was that amazing musical that yes. Adrian Pang did with the DBS Bank.
So Sparks was made by DBS as a web miniseries to promote themselves and humanize bankers, basically. But they also had in the extras, after you finished watching the whole first series, they also had interviews from that night where they'd gone to watch the Sparks musical. So it also not only made a web miniseries drama, well, the production values are amazing.
They had Sachin Tendulkar in it.
I was going to say, if the aim was to humanize bankers, I'm not saying that web series failed. In fact, yes, I am. That web series failed. I think this was made before the economic crash, judging by the timeline.
It was not at all.
Was it made after?
It's currently being made.
It's still...
They went on to season 2, which we've been recording. We've been watching that as well.
We've been watching it religiously, and apparently we can't be the only ones, because we thought season 1 was it. And then I think about this time last year,
yeah,
I was on the MTR and suddenly
you saw the advert.
I saw the advert for season 2.
Sparks is back.
Yeah, the musical that they made for DBS staff. I think it was just DBS staff that got to watch it. It was also produced by Adrian Pang's theatre company. So he's got his own theatre company in Singapore. He's a big Singaporean actor.
Yeah, I was about to say, I did try and Wikipedia him briefly. And you say is remarkable. I couldn't remember it. All I saw was Malaysian Singapore actor. And I was like, I'm just going to go in with this a fresh mind. This is the Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm sure, of Malaysian film art. But I don't think he can be the Leonardo DiCaprio film art. I'm not going to care in 10 to 15 minutes.
Well, we hope to prove you wrong. Because I think what we discovered from watching Adrian Pang's back catalogue, and we've watched a fair few by now.
Three?
This is the fourth. We watched him do Lovejoy.
Yep,
and then we watched him do.
First,
we
watched Yellow Fever.
Yellow Fever. Yep,
and then
the Night Swimmer, and this is the fourth one. And you know, I think he's got a wide range in his character personas.
He went to RADA.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that explains so much.
That's why he was on TV in the 90s.
I was just trying to think, because obviously I'm a little bit younger than you guys.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be nice. A lot younger than you guys. But like, because I was thinking my 90s experiences would be very different, because I was born in 94. So if I'm right, this series we're watching today was actually made when I was 2 or 3 years old.
Something like that, yeah. Is it 99, this one? 1999?
I thought it was 90. Again, mic technique, you'd think after 5 minutes we'd get the rough one. I think maybe 5 or 6 when this came out. But as I was saying to Bav, it was quintessentially like my childhood, that like style of TV, yeah, which I won't go too much into. We'll do when we're commentating.
Well, yeah, this one's quite a long one, so we should drop straight into it, actually, and then we'll chat a bit more about Adrian while it's playing in the background. This time we're going to be watching Bugs, Season 4, Episode 8. Title is Twin Geeks. So if you search for Twin Geeks and Bugs, you should get it up. I think it's on
YouTube.
Sure. I was going to say a legal source, but fine.
I mean, YouTube's legal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can get in trouble for watching it. I know.
If we were telling people to go watch some pirated material, possibly getting.
I think the Hong Kong police have bigger priorities right now.
I was going to say, if you search for that, you could probably find it on Google Play, whatever.
I would argue that there's no way for us to know this is pirated. Like, how do we know that this guy didn't get the licensing rights from the BBC
to actually put it up?
Yeah, I'm going to say that's what this person's done. I have no reason.
Well, as
to
a producer and editor and host, I'm going to cut all this and just say, search for the video and go to like UK Gold Classic website or whatever.
Is it Dave's Jarvu?
Is that a website? That's just repeats on Dave, isn't it?
I just wanted to say Dave Jarvu.
Search Twin Geeks Bugs and you'll find, like, I think it's on a Google Play website. Anyway, we're going to hit start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So yeah, I was going to say, if you're not watching along, you'll notice how 90s this is within 4 seconds of it being on. And I love as well, passes must be shown at all times, which is obviously the less modern equivalent of getting your head checked at the door now of temperatures.
I don't have, like, the security guy's like, everyone else come through. And the dude's like, no.
Well, also, I love as well, I've never worked in security, obviously. However, the all magic wands always interest me. It was like, what are they actually looking for? Because obviously they've got a bomb threat, and this comes on later as well. But, like, what are they? Is there a knife? Like, is that bomb / knife / gun / is that just...
Trigger point.
I mean, the Swiss Army knives are pretty amazing. What the Swiss Army knives can do, actually. They can be a grenade as well as a knife.
I love how this very suspicious looking man just leaves a polisher in the middle of the floor. No one's like, hey, get back to work.
And then goes behind. Yeah. Also, I was like, the amount of people this guy was looking at, I was trying to make a list. If you don't know Moby's fantastic. And his brother, which will come on later, is the Dean from Community. Yeah. So pretty much any small-headed, bold
Who
guy.
Who also looks like Moby.
So pretty much any small-headed, bold guy. And there's With now glasses. Two of them. I like to think after this, that's how they like earned their living, is just doing Moby lookalike contests and then Dean of Community and just riding the wave of whatever bold guy was popular at the time.
And John Malkovich. The one from REM.
Oh, so yeah. This
Michael Stipe.
Michael Stipe.
There we are. I like this little sounds and this little pingy pongs that you always get in these shows.
I was going to say, as a general thing, I don't want to be like critical of bomb makers or Al-Qaeda to get any techniques from this, but your bomb shouldn't really beep if you're actually trying to cause damage.
Well,
I think they want them to warn, exactly. But they don't want them to find the bomb, so still it beeping.
But this one, I think they do want them to see it, because like, it's not even a big explosion, is it?
No. Oh, that was my next criticism as well. I was like, this isn't very threatening. You could stand about 5 to 6 meters away and survive this blast. I think I've had worse cooking accidents than this terrorist attack, I'm not going to lie. They could have put a microwave and a bit of foil and about got the same reaction, to be honest.
Oh, speaking of bomb threats, have you ever had a bomb threat?
I've never had a bomb threat, no.
I was, when I was at university, the student paper reprinted those Dutch pictures of Muhammad, and then there was a bomb threat the night after it, like the union. And we weren't allowed to go in and set up for like our rock night in the corner. And then, like, the guy who ran the ENS department was like, oh, no, yeah, Goldie-looking chain rehearsing, so you can't go in just now. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, makes sense. Goldie-looking chain, yeah, Cardiff, this is where they go rehearsing. They're always around the students' union rehearsing Goldie-looking chain.
I mean,
yeah, perfect sense.
To be fair, if it was this bomb that just went off, I'm pretty sure as long as Goldie was, you know, a safe distance away, that would be fine. I was also, again, I'm a very critical, depressing person. But also, like, if you hear a bomb about to go off, I like the fact he paused for dramatic effect.
Yeah, and
I'm
then like, run. It's like, and just then start running.
Yeah, I'm just like, running is the key to this, clearly. I mean, I know, and I don't mean to be pretentious, I know none of these actors. I think Bav might know one or two, though.
Well, I mean, I thought I did, but then I just realized that there's a whole bunch of new actors that came in season 4.
This is season 4.
Because I remember, I remember Jesse Bird, Birdstall, like him.
Yeah.
And then they had the old guy from Neighbours, but he's not in it anymore.
Okay.
And, yeah, so it's strange. But yeah, Bugs was like a quite an innovative show of its time back in the 90s because it was all about technology and getting hold of spying stuff and
Tomorrow's
things like that.
World, Bugs. Yeah. Same thing. Began to take them more seriously.
You can remember, this is like 1994, right? So for them, like the peak of terrorism was the IRA. And it kind of makes you feel nostalgic, doesn't it? About
bomb threats. They never call them anymore.
At least the IRA, they gave you a call, didn't they? They said, we're gonna blow you up. And you had a chance to deal with it. You don't get that now from modern day terrorists.
I was going to say, especially as the episode is called Twin Geeks and talking about bomb and terrorism, this is the second biggest, I think, terrorism plot involving twins. And that's a very dark and awful joke again. Might want to edit that out.
I can't edit out the stuff that's over the video because then it goes out of sync. That's the problem.
I try and edit out my mind and it won't go, so don't worry about it. At least you're not, like, in here at the same time. But yeah, this was something I was going to notice as it came up as well. What was it? Again, they're tracking. This is, as Bab was saying, this technology was kind of innovative at the time. But stuff like the face tracking, where it's just like, oh, fantastic, General Bold Dude, we can't find any matches. And I'm like, do you not have a picture of Moby? I know Community isn't out yet, but I'm pretty sure
all the clocks on the back of the wall as well.
Yeah, it's just so like, and also immediately, and again, I've never watched this before. You've watched the back catalogue of Bugs, etc.
No, not this. I've watched a few bits of Adrian Pang, but this is the first time I watched the Bugs episode.
And as you've seen this, there's just every, I think this is very 90s quintessentially as well. Within every 2 minutes, there's some shit sexual tension that needs to be like, just like, oh, look, they could fuck. Oh, wait, they could fuck.
I love the crazy exposition. They're always like, oh, those two guys are in a van and they're getting away. And it's like, yeah, we can see it.
And very much is like a children's guide to, like, what was it? Whenever you have someone on the opposite end of the phone and they have to repeat exactly what they say. Cause they don't have the budget to split the screen. They're like, what did you say?
Like being
we need
theater.
To come over right now? And I'm like, yes, you're wasting time by repeating what they're saying. What you should be doing is coming over right now.
I'm just trying to confirm and show that I'm an active listener, Ashley.
Okay. That's again, for students in a group discussion, that would be fantastic. I might start showing that to them. But yeah, as far as I can get, and this is going to come up later as well. I love a fantastic subplot because this is a fantastic one, which will be brought up later. It's just, it becomes copyright law at some point. Without, if you've not watched this, like the subplot for this, which is essentially twin terrorism and also can I buy back my copyright, which seems like very 2020 with Taylor Swift. And if you didn't see it yesterday, Kanye West is also trying to buy back his masters from Universal.
Like his back catalogue.
Yeah, well, he's trying his best, but I mean, most of his tweets were fantastic if you've not seen them. One of
that
them
happened
is
to Michael Jackson, right? Like he lost at least the rights to his early work. Yeah, but then at the same time, he owned the Beatles back catalogue himself.
I'm not an expert in the music industry, but I mean, more Kanye's meltdowns. Like, it started with him wanting his back catalogue back. Then and this was like a tweet that would have gone viral in 2010s, but it was just a minor thing in the meltdown that came on. It was just him putting a Grammy in a toilet and then pissing on it. Like, literally videoing that and tweet uploading it. And then the third one was then, and this was the genius fucking, the genius part of it, was it was him, like, texting his lawyers saying, what can we do? And then he screenshotted his lawyer's response, which was like the lawyers explaining what they're going to do. So giving all their court technique, all their techniques.
Oh, God,
and then
so
tweeted that out. I'm like, great.
You're
not it's like, this is a high risk strategy. We don't know this will work. But it's Universal. God. And I'm like, oh, great. There's one thing having a mental breakdown. But there's two, like the one solution you had was just being tweeted out to everyone in a screenshot. Sorry, we probably should get back to the show rather than
It's fine. It's
analyzing.
A long show. We got a lot. This is a long one, so
we go off on tangents. This is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the jigsaw piece?
What's he doing there?
Just a jigsaw piece.
I'm gonna name this one. Oh no, I've lost him.
I do like how these twins like explain everything to each other, even though they know what they've done.
Oh, there is one lead twin, and I think that one's Moby. This bit is fantastic. The most up-to-date technology they have in this is basically an anagram solver, which is...
Yeah.
And the worst thing is it takes time. Like later on, I don't want to spoil it at the end, but they're like, they wait 5-6 minutes for it to come through. I'm like, it's an anagram.
And they're also like guessing names rather than putting a brute force dictionary. Like, also, he gives the wrong... Well, they're talking about Leonardo da Vinci, and then he gives an Oscar Wilde quote.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
I was going to say, like, you've seen eight tan cats, like,
are outside.
Lam goi, wum goi that Bath was doing earlier. It's essentially the same thing. But yeah, like, it's 8 out of 10 cats. I don't know why my tongue got tied there. 8 out of 10 cats does countdown. This is like NCIS does countdown by the end. We're going to do anagrams until we work out the geeks. This will be fine.
And here he is, Bav. Take it in, because it turns out he's not really that present in this show.
So hang on. So this is not a love joy. We're doing a whole Pang Tang, and he's not in.
He's not really in that much.
Oh, that's disappointing.
And he's got a Japanese name, which I found surprising. I've not seen him play a Japanese role before.
I mean, yeah, this is, without talking over, again, the subplot I was alluding to earlier about how basically someone has sold over her back catalogue. Much like Kanye West, she deals with it in an equally fantastic meltdown. However, this man has bought out her back catalogue in order to, like, own her, essentially, and, like, own all her ideas. And the first thing he does is not tell her, but surprise her with this and then kind of insult her. And it seems coincidentally very Hong Kong as well, very just like, we were talking about this on the way up, like, they don't care. Like, they're just like, haha, we have beaten you. And then it's like the next hour of her trying to get over it. I was like, I don't know how Japan businessmen work, but I'm pretty sure this is not it.
Yeah, I know. But I do like the decor in this room. It's like they put the word Japanese interior design into Google and hit I'm feeling lucky, and they just bought everything they could off of those links.
There's
samurai armor in the corner, there's bamboo, there's paper walls.
It's just missing the sushi, isn't it? It's literally just missing a plate of sushi and also a bit of karaoke in the background. Like, they're the four things that come up when you type in Japanese images with safe search on anyway. And also, and I'm not trying to be stereotypical here, but the man does not have any like, they've got the most Japanese background, but this man does not have any kind of Japanese accent.
Well, it's because he's not Japanese. I know. Poor Malaysian.
Yeah. Oh, is that Andrew Pang?
That's Andrew Pang.
Oh!
That's Andy Pangham Tang.
Oh, the Wikipedia page didn't explain that.
Adrian Pang.
Just out of curiosity, like, he's probably the only Asian guy in this episode, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think I had the process of deduction. I should have.
It's not her mum. That's not. No,
I'm not gonna lie. This was watched at about 10 a.m. in the morning after I got up at 8, had a nap, and then did it. I was not doing. Oh, yeah, my bad. Again, editing. Wish we could do it over, but fantastic. I love as well. So she's again done her back catalogue. Her first thing is ring her lawyers, I love a good plot convenience. One is sick, one is away, so we can't have the lawyers. So her mum gives her the best legal advice possible,
I think it's her mum's got hold of, like, the originals of her contract.
Yeah, but
and
her
she
mum
asked them to read it, right?
Yeah, and she's just like, "What do you think of these 80 pages?" She's like, "She'd always read the fine print." To be fair, her mum's smarter than her, because she has the option for someone to buy her entire back catalogue, and she wasn't even aware of it. She was like, "It's a very long contract." I'm like, read it. Like, it doesn't. It's not the iTunes terms and conditions. This seems quite important. Like, I get you click accept on most things.
Also, wouldn't have that come up during, like, hiring, like, during negotiations when you're getting hired?
Just snuck it in at the last page. It was like, also, we own everything you do.
But it's not uncommon, right? When you work at a business,
no.
They own you make at
right,
the business.
Right, exactly. If you're using their resources, it's a common practice.
It's the same even at my work. Like, you sign away if you make a lesson or if you make anything that's done at work time, obviously. Yeah. Owns the work. Like, that's why you won't be filming a snake in the room at work times. That'd be very weird if your business started being owned. And the twins are back, which is fantastic.
I mean, it is their show, isn't it?
It is. It is Moby and Dean from Community's show.
So, Jesse Bird, I feel like, but sure, I thought he had some sort of scandal back in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And just Googling through this, I can't find it. But he was in that BBC flop, El Dorado. So, I don't know if you remember this, but back in the 90s, early 90s, El Dorado was launched as the Spanish EastEnders. It lasted for all of 1 year.
I keep getting that confused with Benidorm.
No, Benidorm was actually quite successful as an ITV comedy.
As a comedy, is it? Okay.
Yeah. But El Dorado was an absolute flop.
That screensaver takes me back.
I was going to say, love 90s computers, but also, as you said, Benidorm is, and you may not, because you've not watched it, but you asked if Benidorm was a comedy. And I was like, you've probably watched that and actually been to Benidorm, and that could also be a documentary. As someone that has been Benidorm as a kid, every stereotype of, like, basically white expats in Spain is fantastically true. And I don't know if you knew this, because it might be time you're in Hong Kong, but there's actually a UKIP division in Spain. So the UK Independence Party that doesn't believe in immigration has a division in Spain and was tweeting unironically about how we need to leave Europe. And then the best thing is complained afterwards when they realised they have to move back. Yeah,
they don't have
visas anymore. Like, we don't want people coming to our country, but also we want to live in their country fantastically. But this was, yeah, again, this is what I mean by the magic beeper. Like, I don't know what it's detecting. Yeah. It could be dynamite. All they know, it's a bomb. So it could be dynamite. It could be C4. It could be a fertilizer bomb. But they've got the magic beeper that beeps. Not even the right direction. I don't know if that was invented maybe in the 2000s. But, like, they're literally going, is it left? Is it right? I'm like, it's the world's worst game of Marco Polo, but they're playing with a bomb.
I like the nonchalance of the guy behind Jesse Birchall's character. He just seemed to be quite okay with the whole beepy thing going on.
I think he's on work placement, that one.
Ah, I see.
This is fantastic as well, because you say very 90s, the CRT monitor, like you couldn't hide a bomb, right. Like a modern one. It'd have to be like a thumbprint. And also she takes the time, again, we're talking about like running away from the bomb and on the phone calls, she takes time to explain the type of bomb she's about to defuse, which I don't know, is very showy-offy, but also fantastic. Like, defuse it and then explain later. Like, that is literally like, and I've got to be very careful, some certain police forces, let's go with America because that's better, like saying, I'm going to beat you up now, this is why I'm going to beat you up, it's due to a system of race, like race thing that's gone, systematic oppression that's gone through the years, now I'm going to beat you. I'm like, no, write that in the report afterwards.
I love these guys' telescopes, so quaint.
The weirdest suits. Segue ever, me going on a racism in America and Matt going, I like telescopes.
Oh man. This brings me back to the exposition. Why is it not cutting? It's coated into my... Won't let me cut it. Oh, thanks for explaining it. I love the little tool she gets out later as well. The Dremel makes a guest appearance.
Aaron Sorkin doesn't have shit on these guys. That's
Oh, yeah, the telescopes and also just like...
That telescope, though, it's an odd one because when he's zooming out, it looks like a funny mirror. It's, it's augments... It's not just a clear view. What is he looking at? And when he is using the telescope, all he's seeing is the building. He's seeing nothing else. I don't see what value he's getting out of this telescope.
He's waiting to watch for an explosion, isn't
he? So there is two bombs. One's in the car. They just things. So there's two bombs. So he's looking for the second bomb. But here's one. I don't, again, want to give tips out, but like they're very, very polite bombers because they say they're going to do it in 5 minutes and they're counting down the seconds. They can watch the people whose job it is to stop them defusing the bomb and they still stick to the timing. I'm like, you don't have to actually stick to your promise. You can detonate it a minute early.
They're gentlemen. They're honourable gentlemen.
But that's the problem. Like with these telescopes that they're looking at, like now they see down there. That's fine. But what they couldn't see was through the windows. So they had no idea what's going on. But yeah, this is what I miss about 90s terrorism. It was just so. It was a nicer time. Just a nicer time.
I've always thought that is the worst part about Al Qaeda and ISIS is they don't stick to their word. And they're just not comical enough. Throw in some confetti. You know, you've all watched those beheading videos. There's not enough showmanship or exposition. I really don't know what's going on until it happens. I really want a guy to come with a knife and go, this is how I'm going to cut off his head. That is the 90s terrorism that we need.
To be honest, that would probably be better for beheading videos because then you'd have a chance to hit stop.
I mean, I don't know what you were expecting though, right? There's a guy with a knife with a bunch of other guys with knives. And they're going to say, we're going to kill him. Like, I don't know. And to be honest, if you're clicking on that link on YouTube, beheading videos, it's probably going to be in the title. It's not going to be, like, cloaked
that's
under,
not
like...
how it worked, was it? They just, like, put it up under a title saying Fluffy Cats, and then people accidentally...
Oh, is that what happened?
Isn't that, I don't know. Oh. Isn't that what happened?
Sorry to go back to the...
It was a few years ago now, wasn't it? Like, 5 years ago, all the beheading videos were going around.
I remember there's a thing with Peppa Pig, where people were just putting Peppa Pig episodes, and then suddenly it would be just really debaucherous.
Oh, God.
Yes.
I think we've kind of gone past that point with modern technology, but this is, again, back to the subplot that you can see on here.
It's
fantastic. Is her, like, saying, oh, why didn't you read the contract?
And I was Why is that van going back and forth twice?
Because it's fantastic. It's 90s television. You can do what you want. I was going to go off on a side story here, which is always fantastic. So she's trying to buy back her contract. We've gone through that. And I've criticized, but I'm also, I'll be honest, my mum's a nurse. So when it comes to medical advice, and I've worked in hospitals in various roles in my life, and I'm very scared of doctors still. So whenever I have medical advice, I really my mum, who's like a nurse, and without going into too much detail, I once, if anyone knows what a banjo string is, I ripped that on a one night stand.
Ouch.
Yeah, it hurts a lot, and obviously I'm still very scared of doctors, so if she's asking her mum for copyright law, imagine ringing your mum still drunk at 8 a.m. in the morning and just going, I'm sorry mum,
I've wrecked my cock,
what should I do? And obviously, not her area of expertise, more of a general nurse. She was like, does it hurt when you piss? I'm like, I've not tried yet. Can I ring you back in 10 to 15 minutes? It was not even the most awkward conversation I've had with my mum. But yeah, it's to this day, the worst thing is I'm now 26, and my mum still books my doctor's appointments. And I don't think I've had one in Hong Kong. I have been deadly sick a couple of times. And I'm just sitting there going, like, nah, mum, I'll ring my mum. She'll be awake in 8 hours. It's even the time difference. And she's in a different country. I'm like, trying to do it. I don't even trust WebMD. I'm like, my mum knows. I've not grown up yet. That was a weird segue. I don't know where we're back onto the Jeeps now. 90s terrorism and mum advice. This really is the golden age of my childhood.
Oh, we should say the bombers are attacking a company that basically is a telecommunications, right? So this is like the modern equivalent of like attacking, burning down a 5G tower.
Which they actually have better reasons than people for burning down 5G towers, to be fair. I can actually relate to the Moby and Dean from Community a hell of a lot more than I can to the twits that think that 5G... I don't want to go into that because it's become a meme at this point, but I just love the fact they thought, obviously... I legitimately can't get the idiocy of like thinking that 5G spreads coronavirus. And the best part is, like, even just simple logic, like, you know there's 5G in countries... there's coronavirus in countries without 5G. And also, like, just the general conspiracy theory of, like, oh, America and Biden want to control us. I'm like, you do realize there's, like, 2 million dead elsewhere. And they're like, but we've just, like, Australia's going there going, yeah, we're killing our dead because we want Biden in power as well. I don't know the vested interests. And I'm going to try and go back to lovely Moby here.
But, yeah.
These are some classic cars in this, though.
Oh, it is fantastic. I think we've missed the part I wanted to talk about, but... No, this is the... Oh, I love... this is very James Bond-esque, like...
Gassing him.
Because they're geniuses. This is... this will explain later their history, but they're geniuses. And it's not like they have a certain area of... Like, they can make explosives, they can hack in, they somehow have access to every 90s gadget ever as well. But they also can't have decent telescopes. Sorry, Matt.
Sorry, the weirdest thing there is he has a fancy watch that flips up, and it just then he's just like, oh, 10 seconds. Normal watches can tell you how many seconds have passed.
No. And also, as well, masks. How 2020?
How trendy.
I don't want to say it. They're not
3M masks, baby. Those are the posh ones.
Maybe they are the 5G terrorists. They're trying to prove that masks don't work on sleep gas as well.
I just want to just do a little callback to one of the cars that we saw in there, which was a classic Citroën. The one with the hydraulic suspension. Like, ahead of its time. Just really bouncy, and it would rise up a little bit when you get
down a bit to let you off.
You kind
go
of
back
yeah,
up
but it's just driving. A beautiful little car. It's like it's just doing a Top Gear run.
Oh yeah, reasonably priced star. Is it reasonably priced star? No, it's not.
It's a reasonably priced car. It's a star and a reasonably priced car.
What I've just done there is human trafficking rather than Top Gear. You can buy a reasonably... What would a reasonably priced star be? I think that's pretty much anyone that's ever done an Iceland advert. Was it Jade Goody? Jade Goody was like, you can get her for 2,000. That seems a reasonably priced star. I think that's
fair.
How
the fire, that's how Fire Festival started, with the Fire app. You just want to hire Ja Rule for an evening. How much does that cost?
I mean, at this point, probably less than it would to hire actual human trafficking. But this is, if you don't know, if you're still watching along with us, this is as well, essentially, so Bugs is like, I didn't really work it out, a secret division, let's pretend it's MI6, and it's just like someone's lover who doesn't know where they've been because the guy has been knocked out. She just goes to the front desk and they pretend not to know him, which is very spy. They've done well, the receptionist is keeping her up, but someone walks past, and this is quintessentially British as well. Instead of walking past in social awkwardness, he brings her up to the secret HQ. I'm like, how
inside
awkward
the spy
she, was like, she wasn't even talking to her. She was like, secondhand social awkwardness has essentially ruined the secret spy organization they've had that he's kept secret.
His girlfriend thinks that he's an electrician or something, and now she's inside. Was it counterterrorism? She's inside the office from 24. It's like, doesn't look like a plumber's, doesn't look like a tradesman's outfit.
And also, this guy is. I love the filming of this, like. She's walking around looking at all the monitors so she can see her boyfriend passed out. Not even keeping in the reception or like the front area. They're like, okay, you can wander around and question why everyone in this counterterrorism unit. That seems completely.
Look
fair.
How much water all these secret spies have racked up as well.
I mean, I'm surprised neither of you commented on the fact that these guys were doing YouTube before YouTube was YouTube. This was so ahead of its time.
He sent a video file. They had video files in the 90s, didn't they?
I was also going to say as well, I love the fact he didn't just do, as again we were talking, and I don't want to be critical of ISIS again, because I'm definitely a target after this. I've been too critical. If they want to give me tips. Yeah.
you know, don't tell them how to do their jobs. But they're also just like, they weren't just filming it like you do on Terrence Video, where it's like front on, normally with a dodgy background so you can't see who they are. That guy was doing laps. I love it. It was like Christopher Nolan-esque. Like, he really cares about his work. So these geniuses are bomb makers, gadget makers, spies, and also filmographers. So if anything, I'm relating more to them. I'm rooting for Moby Dick and Dean from Community right now.
100%. They had a cause, didn't they? They had a cause. Wanting to get behind. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of, it's a bit like Bonnie and Clyde, isn't it? Like, you can get behind them on this one.
Yeah. Obviously, their motivation hasn't yet been revealed, but I think anyone that's ever worked for any company will also understand their motivation when it comes up.
Everyone's wanted to bomb the office at one point in their life.
Oh, yeah, every day. And also, we've just missed it on the screen, but however, it's fantastic. Spy glasses, those little like black sunglasses they have that every cool person wears, but if you wear, your mates would literally take the piss out of you to the point of crying. I could never pull them off.
I remember as a kid having those glasses which were black tinted, but then on the side were little mirrors, so you had mirrors on the side of the glasses here so you could see behind you, but it was black on the front, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Could you see behind you clearly and then in front of you is dark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so sunglasses in the front.
Yeah.
And then if I swizzled my eyes.
Yeah.
It was like having my own little, you know, rear view mirrors.
Okay.
Yeah, so
was it not cool. Like blinding? Being like going from brown to like really bright?
Well, no, because I got. How? No.
Okay. No.
More beeping.
Yeah. How does he calibrate? Like, at what point does the bomb go off?
I think just the same as everything. I love convenient beeping. It was the same with the bomb tracker, convenient beeping. And also, I've only just thought of this, having watched it before, but this is essentially a very early version of Saw. Like, do you remember when they have to try and get out the traps?
Yeah, yeah.
We've got Moby and this is ahead of its time. This has had about 7-Eleven. Nope, still not 7-Eleven. I meant 007. There's too many three-digit numbers. I've always said that. I think that 7-Eleven, 9-Eleven, and 007 should diverse. I think we need to go to more single and quadruple numbers there. However, I just love as well Moby and Thing being very dramatic, always walking in together. You never see just one of them on the screen. It needs both of them to explain their plot.
I mean, how would you know they were twins if you didn't see both of them at the same time?
Also, the worst thing is, apart from being bold and about the same height, they could have found people that look more alike. I know, obviously, like, this is...
They've obviously made one of them wear a goatee, so you can't see how different that they actually look to each other, right? Yeah.
And I like to think one of them came in and was, like, looking for another place and, like, you know what? We don't have another part for you. However, if you shave your head, we can get you in as Moby. And if you, for people that are wondering...
He's obviously the bad cop, sorry. He got upset about from their, was it psychological review?
Yeah,
he's obviously the bad cop. He's the good one.
Yeah, and you can never trust a guy with a goatee. That is like... it's up there with the tropes of biting an apple means you're a jackass, and if you have a goatee, you are a jackass up in film.
So explain biting an apple again.
Have you never seen this trope?
If you crunch into
an apple, you've always said the bad guys, they'll be talking and then crunch into an apple very, very loudly. And it's that trope of, he's the arsehole. Because like, at the moment, they're doing terrorism, and I'm actually quite on their side. But if one of them bit into an apple, I'd be like, nope, I'm against you. I'm back on the guy that you've drugged out and tried to bomb. Right at the moment, I'm still on Moby Dick's side. Okay, so yeah, again, this is fantastic in terms of... like they're tracking the email back to like its server, and it's so 90s again. Because like, if you want to track an email now, it's really quite easy. You can do it on your own, and why I know that is none of other people's business.
Oh, we're back to Adrian Pang.
Legal case still pending.
I think this might be the final time we see Adrian Pang in this episode, Bav.
I must say I'm disappointed. Again, what is Adrian's role in this whole thing? Because he's been
he runs a different business that's bought the business that has her patents.
Yeah.
That
shit subplot, bad guy slash Japanese slash... Yeah, I don't want to critical, but there must be more famous Japanese actors than they could have got in. I mean, the only thing they've got short of him is essentially being a sumo wrestler to get more like stereotypical.
She's buying back her patents. She has a buyback option in her contract, and she's using... I had to look this up... Exchequer bonds.
And the best part is, as well, despite her mum reading the fine print, they didn't read the second part of the fine print, which means she's now £2 million short.
Oh, you're giving it away already? Oh, no, that's what he's telling her now. That's right.
Yeah, I was about to say. That wasn't the final reveal. It was like, terrorism wins. However, she was also £2 million short.
So this is like the second time in a 90s drama that Adrian Peng's playing a slightly more darker, so less
it's
charitable
not quite
character.
Like a he's not like the Tong guy this time. He's a professional businessman. It's not like nothing personal about it.
No.
It's just business.
Fair enough, yeah.
Again, without being critical of his business technique, like that, maybe tell the person whose life you're buying beforehand. Because also as well, it's a really weird time. I'm not like too great on legal contracts, because he invites her in, says we've bought your entire back catalogue,
yeah,
and then goes, also, you have 8 hours to raise it back. I'm like, again, business technique. If you're going to be the sneaky asshole, like, don't tell her about the time limit. If you're going to be the nice guy, bring her in and be like, this is why we're doing this. We look forward to working
it
with you in the future.
It might be that contract, or like legally, he's obliged to tell her before the 6 hours starts. I'm guessing.
I mean, that's what you want from a 90s a crime drama is copyright law. Best subplot ever. As well as, again, I think we're coming up to it very soon. I think there's like 3 sexual tension like points in this that we'll come up to. Like his girlfriend, who's obviously... I don't know her name, and I can't remember the name.
Getting warm in the freezer, that bit.
Oh, that's going to be great. That again, very sore-ish, very sore-ish.
Yeah,
I do think there's definitely some sore, basically, bug. I think Saw watched Adrian Pang's backlog and was like, this is the sort of crap we need to be doing. So, okay,
and I got confused here. That guy in the jacket, he's just her boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
He's not part of their department.
I don't
know. She's just brought him on a ride-along.
He wasn't part of the department. He's in charge of the email tracking. And again, convenient plot thing. It's the first time they've ever used the email tracker because, you know, twin terrorism is the only time you ever need to track emails because, you know, in the modern day where the NSA exists and everyone's spying on each other, this is like, oh my God, this is the first time it's happening. Let's all go. So he's coming along. And also, I love this as well, because obviously, yeah, that was the thing. And I've written this down as well. It's like, most people have, like, chess metaphors. Like, oh, these guys are meant to be geniuses. Yeah. Like, they'll reveal this later.
Chess.
They're literally, like, went to university when they're 12. And, like, instead of going, I like someone's like, oh, do you remember that board game metaphor that everyone uses? And someone's gone, checkers. And they're like, no, we're not checking that. It's like Japan. We've Googled Japan. We've Googled checkers. That's definitely the one we need to go for. I'm just liking, like, maybe one of them's, like, king me at the end. Just like, the bad guy is definitely the one winning.
So what do you shoot them with? Like an air canister?
Well, that's the thing. We missed out the exposition there. He just like shot them with tungsten.
The same material as used with darts. Right, okay. Yeah.
And his brother was like, tungsten darts? Says, yes, it's the most effective poison delivery. What's that?
So far, I just like them a lot. I'm with you on this one, actually.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
And this is, again,
£2 million in cash. Is that right?
Yeah, he's like, so he's basically, I can't remember the word, defrauded his business. Like,
right.
Money laundered in his own business.
In his own name.
In his own name, so that if he gets caught, if she doesn't pay it in time and pay it back immediately when she sells all her assets, he's going to get fired. And you think, oh, great, they must have a fantastic relationship. She once did a favor for him. It's pretty much what happened once. And this is why I think this was very much... I think they wrote the twin plot and it was like, okay, we've got to 38 minutes. We really need a subplot. And it was like, okay, we've got shitty sexual tension elsewhere. Can we make them hug more in the freezer? Like, what could we do? And someone just went, I read a book on copyright law last week. My mum gave me some advice. This will be great. And that pretty much is... I don't want to be critical. I am going to be anyway because I want to be. I lied. Essentially, it is fantastically... Probably the worst subplot I've ever heard, like, honestly. Seriously. And also just the fact they need it. Again, if this is legal, so she's got if she has to pay 5 million because of the stock price going up was in the fine print. So she had to pay 3 minutes, and I want to go with this exposition. She had to pay 3 million checker bonds, and the other 2 million had to be in cash. I'm like, this is some really weird fine print at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, this is what we were talking about earlier with the very crap version of Saw. Basically, they're going to die in a... This is, again, very James Bond Saw-esque. Like, they're locking them in instead of just killing them. Because, you know, at this point, if you're going to do terrorism and kill people, you might as well just do it. They've got, like, half an hour to live. So, essentially, they get half naked and start hugging each other. And I'm just like, again... Oh, great, we got...
Oh, now it's time to play the anagram game. How many famous men can you think of, Bav?
It's amazing how your mind goes blank.
No, this is what happened. Oh, yeah. Once I ask you how many famous people.
Yeah,
remember
like
famous people.
Matt Damon.
Oh, no, I mean like famous geniuses. So before we had Leonardo da Vinci.
Right,
and they just
Einstein,
start,
obviously.
There you go. They throw out Babbage.
Yeah.
John
Locke.
What's the name from Turing?
Yeah, Adrian Turing. Yep.
Sir Isaac Newton. Like, again... Shouldn't you just have a program that also has, like, famous geniuses' names in it and run a brute force program.
I think we can be a bit harsh on the 1994 here. Like this is
they're playing word games to
this is eight out of ten. What is it? NCIS does countdown.
This is
genuinely what they do to solve this. This is it. And also, I love as well. I know bad guys have egos, etc. Why is it every bad guy can't just go Robert Smith? Like, or something like that. They always have to do, like... And the one I looked up, and I need to actually look it up. If you're not aware, obviously, as a big Harry Potter fan, Lord Voldemort spells I am Tom Riddle out. And that's a fantastic thing, like, in terms of anagrams. And obviously, though, I then realised this doesn't work in every country. And I need to quickly Google this while someone else talked. However, in France, they had to change it round. So for example, in like they have it in different ones. So like in Spanish, to make it make sense, they have to call him Tom Sawler Riddle with a Y to make it make sense in Spanish. And they had to change his middle name to Tom Elvis. Tom Elvis Jusador had to make sense for Lord Voldemort. So the king of crime Jusador, in all of Hogwarts is called Elvis as a short nickname.
Jusador stands out more in that to me than Elvis.
Jusador. I'm not making that up. And that spells Je suis Voldemort, obviously. Fun times. That was it. And also, I just love as well, sorry, I've just Googled this as we're talking. In Japanese, as we go through it, it was like, Tom Ridu. This word cannot simply be reproduced in Japanese. They just left out that part. That was just like, as much research went into that for Japan as did this episode with Adrian. Why is it so cold? I just, again, exposition. Why is it so cold?
Why is it so cold? We're in a freezer. Okay, good. How long have we got to live? About half an hour. Good.
Due to my undergraduate in freezer management. It always is convenient, isn't it? It's fantastic. He's not meant to be there. And also, I didn't want to be critical as well. Both of them turned up to the bad guys thing. Bearing in mind, he's the random guy that invented the email tracker, and she's the random, essentially... very glorified secretary, unfortunately, in this. And they just send those, like, these are where the bad guys are. We think our boss has been kidnapped and drugged and, like, put in that, and he's been sent a video from this location. They don't send the tactical squad. They send the secretary and the inventor, and then they don't even look round. They're just sitting there going, these are where the bad guys are. We'll definitely arrest them. This will be fine. Sorry, Matt, you had a more valid point.
No, I'm trying to work out who the dude who works at the Naval Museum is.
So, yeah, he was the Naval Museum. So, earlier, basically, the bomb exploded but somehow survived. The main part of the bomb survived. So it goes to the Naval Museum, essentially, to try and work out where this bomb's from, which will then give clues to who they are, despite them already knowing the person's name. But this guy just has loads of junk and he's just going through it. It's essentially like a really crap pawn shop. And I've got a weird... I don't know if we have time...
Pay attention to that, that bag of cash, because that will come in handy later.
And seeing it as one of the subplots of our conversation, as well as them being in the freezer's awkward conversations with our mum, and talking about pawn shops, if you've ever watched the Discovery Channel, or it's a History Channel, actually, at this point, where they don't do history anymore. They do, like...
Historic aliens.
Historic aliens, storage wars, and stuff like that. And they have a couple of pawn shows, like pawn shop shows, and they're obviously all called, like, punny names. Like, one's called Pawn Stars, and they do a Detroit one, which is obviously called Hardcore Pawn. Yep. And I went home for Christmas once when I was at university, and I was watching this because my dad was really into it, and I went to like a totally legal site to watch this, and obviously the name is Hardcore Porn, but P-A-N-N. It's on the family computer because obviously I have my computer at university, and my mum types in H, she must be going to Hotmail or something, and obviously then the first link that comes up is Hardcore Porn, P-A-W-N, and she calls me into the living room to humiliate me in front of my family. I'm like, click on it if you want, because my dad's pissing himself laughing because he knows, and I'm just sitting there going, why are you watching Hardcore Porn on the family computer? I'm like, I am watching Hardcore Porn. For about 5 minutes, we had a discussion on hardcore porn. I was making as many innuendos as I could, just sitting there going, actually, they were really tough. It's really rough down there. And my mum's just trying to make me feel awkward. I'm like, you're not going to win this fight. I'm the guy that told you I had a broken cock. Do you genuinely think this is the guy you're going to win the awkward conversation with? And also, the worst part was the family computer was on a freaking, like, it was the TV. So I would have had to watch it in the middle of the conservatory. So it literally would have been a glass, like, window of me wanking. Which I've only done once, legal case pending.
You know what they say about those wanking glass houses? Big cleaning bills.
Big cleaning bills, yeah.
So
So how did he find out where they are?
The name is on the frickin' door. Oh, there it's we an are. Anagram.
As I was saying, anagram
attacks again.
Countdown. This division is essentially, and also I told you, awkward hugging. I don't want to be critical. I have been, and I've said that 19 times. This doesn't seem the best way to, I've watched Star Wars where he gets in like, is it like the body of like an animal? I'm not saying she should gut him or vice versa.
Oh, however, tauntauns. Yeah.
Kind of awkwardly hugging like me and Bav did for the first half of this to share the mic doesn't seem the most efficient way to keep body heat. And also so 90s, they're both wearing leather jackets as well. It's fantastic.
I love that. Sorry, that his cries for help are so weak there. Roz, help me. Shrugs. It's like a teenager about it. Help me or not.
All the budget on boom mics was spent earlier in the episode on the fantastic explosions we had. Microwave and foil. Oh no, he's raised his voice now. That's better.
Yeah.
Also, I love as well, and this he does this, so this is not him, as he opens up the freezer, which, I'm not being critical, I think the freezer normally opens from the outside. I don't think he needs to go through much trouble.
I think they put a padlock on it or something.
Okay, again, this is the counter-terrorism office. They know three of their people have been kidnapped. Would they not more... They don't even have guns? Like, I don't want to be critical again. I'm going to say that for the 20th time this episode. Would you not bring at least, like, wire clippers or something? They've just all turned up in their leather jackets going, this is the 90s. We can work this out like a shit MacGyver.
Going back to the anagrams, isn't that something that turns up in Silence of the Lambs or something? Doesn't he keep making anagrams? Hannibal Lecter keeps making anagrams.
Again, something from the 90s I haven't watched. I think I had a pretty... Also, why are they on the crate? Is that just for expert again?
I guess so they don't touch the floor. Maybe the floor's colder.
This is the third sixth sexual tension. So he has a massive...
subplot.
If you watch this, third subplot. He has a massive crush on her, so saves her first. And then it's just like, oh, I was worried about her. But like, and then...
Should we talk about what he finds in her pockets? Because it makes no sense. And like,
oh no! Would you want to go through that now, or do you want to go through that later?
I mean, there is very tense. Bab, do you want to hear what's in the guy's pocket? What's
in your pocket? Yeah. I want to know because I've been watching this vicariously through you both, through your commentary.
So no, he again. This. Oh look, see his wallet just fell out, and the bank statements. Bank statements. So he's going to go through them and copy them because he's jealous and he wants to look into his bank statements. Again, I know this is 90s, but they definitely exclaim it not as like the statements you get when it says you're... Because that's all it says is your balance is if you get it out the ATM, which would be enough to fit in your wallet. And he explains it later as whole bank statements. Who prints out an A4 sheet of the last transactions they have? And bear in mind, he's meant to be guilty because it's implied he's taking bribes. So he's then printed out the evidence against him, folded it up into two different types of A4, and then put it into his wallet whilst going on to an investigation. Without being like, that is very Fyre Festival-esque of espionage, of like, fuck it, we're going to get caught. Again,
Adam's going to be fine.
Yeah, passive aggressive.
Cease.
He's
third
fine.
Subplot.
He's a good. He's fine. Leave him. He'll sleep it off. Like he's got a massive bomb suit on, and they're in suits.
Yeah, I was going to say that was again like of people getting into convenient places. He's the CEO of the company of whatever telecoms, just generic telecoms.inc essentially. And he's like, you think the girl getting into the CIA place is bad or like the secret place is bad. He just walks into the room with a massive bomb where everyone's wearing bomb suits going, well, I'm going to have to pay the bribe now because they're getting blackmailed for the bomb not to go off.
It's a massive bomb.
Also, so the bomb is in a location which essentially means a lot of the UK's infrastructure goes down. It's stuff like, and this will be a throwback, the major thing is all the hospital pages will go down if this bomb goes off because it's the NHS pages. And by the way, if people were listening at home, again, I said I worked in hospital for quite a while. If you think pages are still not relied upon in hospitals, you are very much out of date. Like they are still, and I'll go for this story at the end if we have time. If you have to attend a heart attack, which is one of my jobs as a hospital porter, I had to bring the equipment to heart attacks. You rely on a pager system and you get like a massive code out. And it's like everyone on their pages is what's related to a heart attack. But we're getting to the really good part of eerie music and subplot. So I'll make combat
CEO
the story at the end.
Before when they're getting ransomed, he said there were 37 vulnerable sites.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a lot of vulnerable sites to have in a network.
I'll be honest, if the CEO's allowed in the bomb room and the girl was allowed into the secret service, I think they're actually done quite well for security, just having that magic wand. Didn't even check their IDs, just magic wand.
Yeah, wand.
Wand is fantastic. Again, it's like very much McDonald's efforts at trying to prevent coronavirus, just someone putting a beep at your head and just going, I failed that a couple of times. Not that I have coronavirus, I hope, as I sit and cuddle Bav. But like, I've just walked up a hill or something, and they're like, come back in 2 minutes. I'm like, that's not how fever works. CETO us.
I've had my temperature be too low once when I went in. They're like, 30, that's not right.
Someone's like, you're dead?
30?
Yeah.
Jesus.
They were just, I hadn't taken my hat off.
You were closer to room temperature than you were alive.
Yeah.
You are essentially an equatorial breeze. Yeah, again, this is very... Just watch any 90s diffusion. Like, if you can't find this online via legal platforms, which Matt will provide, just type in 90s bomb and just watch it at the same time as us, because this is every 90s dramatic music.
Put in minus... Was it minus anarchist book? Anarchist cookbook, just in case. So you don't have any of those search results popping up and like a knock on the door.
If you put 90s bomb, like, I was thinking of... Lockerbie? Like, was that
all the classics.
So this is very much 90s self-owned. He's put the bomb in the car to defuse it later, because, again, counter-terrorism officer.
Because, of course, he's the one in charge of the bomb now, not the bomb disposal
expert. Yeah, he could have cut off the bomb at any point, so he can now carry the bomb with him. And also, I just want to appreciate this, the tuck and roll. Again, 90s, tuck and roll. And again, a fantastic bomb. This was the best bomb they had, to be honest. The bomb to keep the guy in the
that
one room
was
better
best,
than any one bomb they had. Oh, that's... Nothing was left on the special effects budget here. I love it.
But there's like, what, $2 million in there as well, right?
Yes, that's $2 million in cash.
That sucks. Now makes you wonder, like, why was she carrying around $2 million all the time?
She was on the way to the meeting. That's the thing. Right. She was on the way... And then he's like, oh, you're... He even says when they're about to go out, he's like, haven't you got a meeting to go to? He's like, no, we've got to go rescue our friend. He's in danger. I'll postpone the meeting, which would have taken him over the time limit to buy back anyway.
Well, I mean, let's hope Adrian Pang just sees some generosity there. Like, you know, she saved the business going down and took down some terrorists and for good measure. And, you know.
Right, but the business is still being sold. She's lost her patents. Also, the thing that's going to happen is she didn't own her patents. The company owned her patents. And now a different company owns her patents.
Yeah.
But to be fair, when your mum's your legal advice, that's going to happen. If your lawyers are on holiday and your mum's your... Like, I love as well, she obviously has these lawyers and retainers. I said one's sick and one's on holiday, but they'll be back tomorrow. Convenient.
No one else works in the office.
Yeah, no one does. No one, like, it's very important and urgent, but her mum's told her it'll be fine. Oh, Adrian's back. That's pretty much it. So, oh yes, also for convenient as well. So they did actually almost let it go through. He then just, again, generic Japanese businessman. He's like, oh, even if you had bought your things back, he bought the company that was going to buy her patent. And also, that wasn't her owning her patent. She convinced an investment bank to buy her patents. I'm like, what do they...
She got an overdraft from the investment bank.
He's buying it because it was like, and you know my royalties in the future will be more to cover you back, is how she explains it to him.
I thought she was getting a loan from them.
No, he definitely says it will be against the royalties in my future, which is essentially what the Japanese businessman wants.
Yeah,
anyway.
I thought she wanted to sell her patents or something.
So pretty much, not only is she doing the stupid... I told you, this is the most stupid subplot, and there have been a lot of stupid subplots in like...
This is where he's handing over the bank statements now. Now he's showing his
don't
boss.
Forget, that is definitely A4. That is not one that's come out of an ATM. I don't know why I'm pointing at the screen for... I'm very vividly for our viewers that cannot see.
Bab's enjoyment.
Just Bab's enjoyment, like, look! Look! Because everyone at home can see very clearly.
A4 paper!
A4. I told you! Also, this is the worst announcement proposal of all time, if they didn't see. Essentially, they hugged in a freezer, so he proposed. I presume the ring wasn't ready. However, I think his statement was, let's just say that experience made... I can't remember what it was. Wait.
Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Okay, again, sorry, I forgot the comment, but the comment was essentially something like, that experience, let's just say, means we're going to be together forever. I'm like, that's not what...
No. I mean, you were both about to die. Well, if anything, that was a very clear sign that you guys are not meant to be together.
Well, no, but people who, like, survive, like, life-threatening situations together often do, like, form, like, a lifelong bond. And like, you do get, like I remember a story, like, a new story about a couple who... I think they were dating at the time, or maybe they just met each other. But they were like, they were in the water, in shark infested waters. They got shipwrecked or whatever.
Oh,
and then they got rescued, and then they got married.
Because
it's a very intense bonding experience.
It is. And this was, I was going to say as well, it was like, oh, and this is the comment they made. They was like, oh, it was like, frostbite will give you an idea for life. That was the comment. And I wrote down in my notes, and this is also how I write comedy.
I just make notes and then forget what they mean, essentially. How is marriage a cure for frostbite was my fantastic anecdote for that. And also, on that general note, to go off on another tangent.
It gives you two armpits to shove your feet in. That's what it
that's
is.
Pretty much it. And like the amount of times, because I try and write stuff down. I didn't do writing with Matt occasionally, but I try and write stuff down when I'm drunk, because that's when I figure I'm funniest to me. And I'm one of those people that wakes up in the next morning and I have a list of all the things I thought was funny. Some of them are great. Some I completely forget. But I remember one, I got really paralytic a couple of weeks ago. And I just woke up with three notes. One was fuck tuna. Again, I can't remember the joke there, but if anyone can think of anything funny about fucking tuna or a dislike of tuna,
you can't the premise. Yeah. We'll bring the punchlines.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just bringing this up. The second one was people, and I stand by this. I'm not sure how it's funny yet. People with printers are posh bastards. I presume I got an email asking me to print something at an unreasonable hour. And the last one was just, I love Charlie. And I'm not sure if that was a person, a drug reference, or my old cat that died like 2 years ago. But I've been trying to work that out for about 2 months now. So if any, sorry, 2 months, 2 weeks. So if anyone knows anything about Tuna, Charlie, and...
So if anyone's got Ashley's house bugged, do get in touch.
Please do.
I'm just thinking, fuck tuna. And I'm thinking dolphins is where my mind's going straight after that.
Oh, okay.
Like dolphins using tuna as like a condom.
Not like...
No. Okay. I mean,
have you seen the size of a tuna?
I mean, they're big, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always surprised at how big tuna are.
I thought you meant fuck tuna as in dolphins are very upset with tuna.
Right.
For getting them caught.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, actually, that probably makes more sense. Like, fuck tuna. You guys are coming after tuna and you're getting me instead.
You're bringing the neighborhood down.
We're like the same size as a tuna, but we're not fucking a tuna, are we?
No.
Or it could be that they want to fuck tuna because tuna's about the same size as a dolphin.
Like having sex with a chimp.
But it's like, yeah. I'm not going to get laid with a regular dolphin, so I'm going to fuck a tuna instead. Like, give a shit.
I was going to say, this might be the world's worst setup for a podcast ever. I get drunk, write things down, come to Matt and Bav, and they try and make sense of them. I think that would be a future fantastic episode, me just coming in and going, what do you think I've written down?
What was this? I'm waking up after a night out, and we'd written on my friend's arm, but we couldn't work out what we'd written for like 2 days. And then it washed off, and I'm like, oh, it says crescendo. Why did we write down crescendo? And it wasn't small print. It was like all the way down his arm.
On drunken things, two things. One, I own a printer, so.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
You
posh wanker.
Posh wanker.
Fuck you and tuna. That's the main thing.
And the second thing is a friend of mine, and at some point,
oh, wait,
we
is
will
it
do
aspirational?
This.
Like you aspire to fuck a tuna?
I mean, of
I mean, that would be
that
for a man. That would be quite a feat.
Yeah, I think so. But of animals aspiringly big that I want to fuck, I'd be honest. I think moose is up there. Have you ever seen how big a moose is?
Moose is huge. It'll kick your face in.
That's why you got. If I'm going to aspire to fuck an animal that's surprisingly big, I'm going all the way. I don't want to be the guy that fucked tuna. I want to be a guy.
What do you say all the way? And you stop at moose, bearing in mind there's elephants,
but animals that are surprisingly big is the category. So what animals are... Because tuna is surprisingly big and so is a moose. Like, you don't know moose are that big. It's a very limited category. There's only two animals I'm aware of. I'm just bypassing tuna to go straight to fucking mooses. And like, because you must have heard that old joke, which is along the lines of, without going too much into it, it was like, oh, I invented the light. No one knows me as Mark the Night Inventor. I can make tables. No one knows as Max the like table inventor. However, you fuck one sheep, you're known as Max the Sheep Fucker for the rest of your life. And I'm just saying, if I was given the choice between Ash the Tuna Fucker or Ash the Moose Fucker, I'm going, and I think everyone at home can agree.
I'm struggling to put a hole in your argument. I'm with you on this. I am 100% with you on this.
If you have to fuck a surprisingly large animal. Also, as someone that, again, we've seen worse iTunes reviews, in your iTunes reviews, please give the snake in
the head. Yeah, if you review this podcast with surprisingly large animal sexual encounters.
Next time I'm on.
Five stars. If you come with a 4-star review, fuck off. 5 stars or don't bother. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
But if you put that inside, if you type that in the review, so this podcast is so great, it made me want to have sex with a surprisingly large animal.
And next time I'm on, which judging by how well this has gone, I don't think will be next time. If you give us a one, we'll add it to the category and we'll rank it. Will it be above tuna? Will it? But that is the suspense
that's
of a 90s sitcom. That is the
add
new
that
game.
To the quiz.
Give us surprisingly large animals, and we'll rank them on fuckability. That is again a podcast I would watch.
You keep saying you're going to watch podcasts, Ashley. It's really confusing me.
I'm a guy that wants
to. Do you just like put the phone on and just stare at it while it plays a podcast?
I like watching the numbers go up.
Well, the seconds go.
Yeah, because that doesn't happen on other apps, you know me. Just, yeah. Oh, it was back to, again, oh, that's called a callback. I've learnt this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the guy, as you said earlier, that looks at his watch and it's really fancy. He's like, that's me with apps. That's just sitting there going
10 seconds.
Like,
fantastic.
Just like, oh, 10 seconds. I'm watching YouTube just counting the seconds going past. It'll be fantastic. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, a guy that wants to fuck tuna probably would do that. So I feel that's a character development right there.
It's a bav.
Yes.
Bugs, you'd seen it before, but it turns out you hadn't seen season four.
I hadn't seen season four.
You hadn't seen Adrian Pang in it.
No.
And you've seen him in it three times.
Three
now.
Times, yeah. I wouldn't say this is a Pang Tang classic.
I think it's the least that we've seen Pang in a Pang Tang.
Yeah.
I did. This is the thing. I go through the IMDb. I look through for a title. I see if I can find it online. Don't have time to watch it before we pick it. And then once I've watched it and realized, oh, he's not really in it that much. This is the first time it's happened.
Well, look, I mean, you do all the work on this one, so I appreciate the effort.
And
I
would, the other ones too.
I wouldn't mind watching one of his feature-length movies.
Right. There's was it the one I'm thinking about next is Porn Masala.
That's not the one I was thinking of, but go. What's the premise of Porn Masala?
So there was. It's part of a feature-length movie, but it's actually three stories. But Porn Masala, I think, also came out.
So is it Porn Masala or Prawn Masala?
Porn, P-O-R-N.
Okay.
Adrian Pang plays a porn director who wants to get this Indian, Singapore, how do you say it? Which way around does it go? Is it Indian Singaporean or Singaporean Indian?
I hate to interrupt Matt, but I've been sitting here just listening for the last minute and it's only taken me a minute to go, oh, Prawn Masala, I get it. And I think I need to stop drinking. It's pretty much the...
But he basically, Adrian plays a saucy porn director who wants to get this Indian guy into his porn because he's got a massive schwang.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that sounds...
I thought that'd be something you'd want to promote there, but never mind.
Well, as in, I'd be
you'd be the one to...
Want to propagate the stereotype. The Indians have got too many good things going for us already. Why would I need to take that as well, you know? We got accountancy.
Yeah, I was about to say, every time I look at India right now, I'm like, that is a country that has their shit together. I've always said that.
The irony is, when foreigners come to India, they don't get to have their shit together.
To be fair, I went for India for Christmas, and
there's a poop joke, right?
Yeah, that was a poop joke. 100%
yeah.
Like Delhi Valley poop joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I avoided the tourist triangle visiting India, though I did... Well, I didn't. I did Goa, which is, from what I understand, the new capital of Russia. And I can't remember what I did because I was visiting friends and like my thing is I try and visit friends. And one of my first nights, some guy just comes up to me and I've been to many countries, Japan, like we're all in Hong Kong. We do a lot of traveling and just some guy was like, I have never seen a white guy in this shop before and just takes a selfie. Didn't ask permission. I just took a selfie and I'm just sitting there going.
Oh no, people won't ask permission. If you're the first white guy they've seen, then no one's going to ask for permission.
Yeah, as in such that like, kind of, I say rural, but like an area that hasn't been revisited. And like he took a selfie and I was like, maybe that's the guy taking a selfie with the guy that wants to fuck tuna. Maybe he knows me.
That's that Ashley James.
That should have been the intro. It was Ashley James, educator, stand-up comedian.
Ashley James,
would fuck surprisingly large animals.
Broadcaster, surprisingly large animal fucker.
I'm still trying to think of a third surprisingly
large swordfish.
How big is a swordfish?
That's definitely going third on the list. There's no way. I mean, to be fair, in terms of what you're saying, if it's a challenge, technically that would go first on the list, wouldn't it? Even above moose. Because if the moose is going to kick you in the head, swordfish is something, as someone, this is great how it's all tying back together. As someone that's broken their dick already, I'm definitely scared of doing it again. And that, I would definitely go for back end action.
I think.
You know, when you catch yourself saying something, going, this is going to be recorded forever.
I think, if you're putting the three together, swordfish, tuna, and moose, I think swordfish or tuna instantly become harder just because they're aquatic animals. You're already in the water, so you've got to. How are you going to catch it? And you've got to hold your breath while you're down there.
Have you ever watched The Other Guys with Will Ferrell?
No.
Yes.
Cool, but do you know where he does that massive thing about how tuna, like, he's like, I'm a lion, I would go out of your way to kill tuna. And then he does the comeback of like, oh, I'm going to be tuna, we'll get a breathing apparatus and then hunt your pack of lions. If anyone was that is essentially, that I think now this is going out, that might be their revenge. If tuna essentially creeping up their way up to my 7th floor walk up in Hong Kong, and fucking me. And they're like, well, if you're going to surprise a surprisingly large mammal, I think Ashley is the top one we're going to do.
There you go, Ashley James, surprisingly large mammal.
I do think that is the most apt description of me, I'm not going to lie. And that is both horizontal and vertically. Pictures are very flattering. If you're ever on my Instagram page, I know my angles.
Oh, it's the perfect. Best weapon. What's your Instagram page, Ashley?
At the tune of... No. if you do want to ever see me tell awful jokes like this, Ashley James M is my Instagram is the best way to find me. It's all set to private for various reasons, legal cases pending and tuna fucking aside.
Aquatic fucker. What aquatic fucker.
Nice.
Is hard K sounds.
Hello.
I normally perform with someone like Matt and Bav at the places like the Aftermath if you're in Hong Kong, Bar 109. I used to perform sadly at the Riff. I was one of the Riff regulars. Unfortunately, that's closed. So if you want to see stand-up comedy in Hong Kong, I do recommend just like you probably
we always point
this before.
People to Comedy HK.
Yeah, Comedy HK. That was about to say Comedy HK. And I know me Bav's headlining. This will never be out. 3 weeks after, 3 weeks before this goes out, essentially.
If you wanted to see Bav perform. And you've got access to a time machine. Go back to Saturday, the 19th of September. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you look at me like I was a madman then?
You're talking about using a time machine to go back and watch me do comedy.
I just
want to
make sure that I've got the date right.
Yeah, in case the time machine is invented.
Yeah.
Again, this is like the Harry Potter things earlier.
You don't know. This podcast may live on... way beyond us, get archived. It might, someone might be listening to this in the year 3000 and they're like, Busted got it all wrong. They were rubbish.
Well, to be fair, Busted, year 3000 underwater. I actually think, if anything, they were behind their time.
they got the calculations.
Can someone write that down? Because I'm definitely going to use that later.
It's being recorded.
I'm watching it later, apparently, so it's fine. But yeah, no, that's if uses of time machines. Sorry to keep going on tangents because I know this is a very long episode. But do you remember Harry Potter?
Yeah, we should be wrapping up right now.
And I'm just like, tangent, my penis is broken. We want to fuck Moose and also Harry Potter. But Harry Potter, where Hermione Granger, essentially the only person allowed to use a time machine in the wizard world, is to study for her exams. And I think watching Bab's 20-minute special at the Aftermath on the 19th of September might be the only thing worse than doing more homework use of a time machine. However, if you want to just harass Matt, that obviously this will be too late when you're watching this at home because we've built up a camera, I'm on the 26th of September in the Aftermath. Maybe Bath might be there as well.
I'll be there.
Check local listings for details.
I'm just we didn't use this time just to pretend we had actually seen our respective shows and just talk about how amazing they were.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I have been in the time machine.
Oh, fair enough.
That's why I'm keep talking about it. I'm trying to, you know, big it up so that I can sell my patent.
You're struggling to sell the time machine?
Yeah. Well, the problem is I've got to borrow a bunch of cash because the guy I invented it with, he's bought the company. I've got to buy the buyout. I'm like 20 million short for inflation.
I mean, no one likes timeshares, so that's...
I was also going to say as well, if you invent the time machine, the first person you sell that to is going to go in the time machine and steal your patent straight away. I'm not going to lie. I think this is probably, and I don't want the host, but this might be a good time to wrap it up as we are going on shitty subplots.
Well, as always, we wrap it up by saying...
And that's been a pang-tang.
That's actually quite good. We might have to keep that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, you put me on the spot there.
Well, deadline pressure. It works sometimes.
Yeah, I'm glad I did that.
Been a pang-tang.
Just quaff that hair.
Quaff that hair. You've been listening to Pang Thang and Adrian Pang back catalogue watching series. You can find me, Matt Hutchinson, at 808BBQ on Insta and at BBQBoy66 on Twitter. You can find Bav at BassBounds on Insta and at Bavin Bakutani on Twitter. This was a Snake Pod production for the internet. Edit. Pause.
You want me to do that again?
No, that's fine.
All right, good.
Oh, you want to do it together?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
It's been a we should count in, shouldn't we?
It's been a pang tang. Are we saying tang or thang?
Tang.
You just been tang pang tang.
I was going to say that the only thing I can think of, and this is a very British reference, but do you remember Howard? I can't remember what bank.
Yes.
Oh, Halifax. Yeah, Halifax.
Howard from Halifax. I was like, the only way I think you could humanize bankers is just literally an advert where he hangs himself and maybe...
But they were just the desk clerks. They're not like...
Yeah, I just I think that's the only way to humanize bankers. I'm not going to lie, is if the only famous banker in the UK kills himself... I might be going too dark here for a nice podcast, but that's the direction I would go in.
Murder some sex workers. That's how you become a famous banker in Hong Kong. Wow, that got really dark. Keep it light. speaking mainly to myself there.